God is holy. That's a scary thought. It's also a happy thought. Kind of strange, this thing we do. Rejoice with holy fear. Amen. Well, I would like to try to encourage the whole church to be involved in missions. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then also, Carissa and Harry are going to talk about ways we can be involved. But I want to pray before I start. Our Father God, I praise you. Indeed, Lord, you are holy, holy, holy. And God, what words are there to ascribe to you the greatness of your name and your power and your amazing majesty and your wonderful love. Indeed, Lord, you are high and lifted up. We praise you. Now, Lord, speak to us, I pray, each one of us, of your greatness, and put in our hearts a desire, Lord, tell others about you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I would like now to give you some reasons why you should be involved in missions ministry. Every Christian is, in fact, a follower of Jesus Christ. That is, we are his disciples, his followers who seek to imitate him and become like him. Being disciples, we are learning his disciplines. When Jesus calls us to follow him and obey his teaching, he demands an intense commitment. This is because Jesus will be teaching us to forsake our old way of life in commitment to his new way of life, to change how we live and what we value to be consistent with his teaching. In exchange for the empty, dissatisfying old way of self and sin, the new life that Christ offers will bring much delight and joy, along with a deep and meaningful sense of purpose and direction in life. Jesus calls us to respond to him with intense love and to set our affections wholeheartedly on him. In fact, of all the things God has commanded us to do, this is the greatest. To love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and strength, says Jesus, is the great and foremost commandment. In Matthew 22 and 35 and following, it reads, "One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.'" A right response to Christ, then, is a genuine, heartfelt desire to obey and follow him that flows from a deep affection for him in our hearts. Therefore, Jesus calls us to gladly abandon the things of this world, no matter what they may be, in order to follow him with a singular devotion. There will be no rivals in God's kingdom for his honor and his glory. We cannot serve Christ and worldly things. Our hearts will be set on one or the other. We obey and follow Christ because he is the object of our love and devotion in our hearts. This is the motivation for obedience to Christ. For example, in John 14:21, he says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Or Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and following, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Being a Christian disciple means following Christ. It requires us to imitate or pattern our lives after Christ's. What did the early disciples do? Well, they followed him wherever he went and did whatever he did. The end result of their following Christ is recorded in the book of Acts. It is the birth of the church and the evangelism of the Roman world of the first century. These men and women of the early church were first called Christians in Antioch. They were originally disciples, and then as the kingdom began to expand, they got a new name. They were Christians. They were of Christ. They were followers of Christ, disciples of Christ. Having obediently learned to follow Christ's teaching, the disciples became like him and went out and did what Christ did. They preached the gospel and made disciples. This is what Jesus had taught them would be the result of their training. For example, in Luke 6:40, he said, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher." And so what does it mean to be a Christian? It simply means to be a disciple, a follower of Christ. Our purpose and our goal as disciples is to glorify God by going where he went and doing what he did. Our identity and purpose is summed up in the Great Commission, when Jesus commands disciple makers to teach disciples to observe all that I commanded you in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Notice that Jesus' directive in the Great Commission is what they were to teach. They were to teach their disciples to obey. He said there, teaching them to obey all that I commanded you. Not only were they to teach all that I commanded you, but first and foremost, to obey. They were to teach their disciples to obey the commandments of the Lord. Obeying Christ is fundamental to Christian maturity and essential to becoming an effective and productive disciple. When we learn to obey Christ, and when our obedience to Christ is motivated by an intense love for him, our lives will be lived to the glory and enjoyment of God. This is the purpose for which we were saved. Now, let's consider for a moment, how are we doing? Have you stopped recently and given some serious thought to how well you are serving Christ and how much your daily activities are fulfilling what he has commanded us to do? Jesus taught his disciples to be primarily focused on the kingdom and zealous to see it expand and grow. He taught them to give their lives to see others come to a knowledge of him and to give their time, their talent, and their treasure to see others grow in his grace and knowledge. So, how are you doing? Think about it for just a minute. How is your daily life conforming to Jesus' life? As his follower, in what ways is your life mimicking his? In what ways are you going where he went and doing what he did? Let me try to help you by pointing out just three practical ways that we can be involved in fulfilling the Great Commission. When I am through here, we will have many ways to be involved, and I want to encourage you to give some serious thought to how we are, in fact, obeying Christ in these areas of our life. So I want to point out just three ways. Number one is sharing the gospel. Number two is making disciples. And number three is establishing and strengthening churches. Now, family, this is what the disciples were giving themselves to. And the reason why is that's what Jesus taught them to do. Are you with me? And then he taught them to go out and teach others what he had taught them to do. What is that? Sharing the gospel, making disciples, and establishing and strengthening churches. That is the primary work that Jesus taught them to do, and that's what they went out to do, and that's what they taught us to do. My question is, how are we doing, both as individuals and as a church corporately? So, sharing the gospel. Every Christian should be able to articulate the gospel accurately And every Christian should be a witness for Christ to everyone in their life. For example, the Lord said in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Listen, every Christian has received power from God to be his witness. Amen? You are God's holy people, set apart and chosen out of the world for his purpose. He has made you to be a kingdom of priests for this purpose of telling of his greatness and the greatness of his salvation. After all, having been saved, forgiven, and born again, don't we zealously desire to see others saved and benefit from the great salvation we possess? We do indeed, as Peter tells us, 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, listen, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. You see, family, we were saved for a reason. We are a royal priesthood for a reason. We have a ministry to carry out. That ministry is to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us. Amen? Therefore, it is important for us to be able to articulate for others what Christ has done for us and how great and marvelous he is. Family, I want to encourage you to get some training in personal evangelism so that when the opportunities arise for you to share the gospel, you can clearly and accurately articulate it. That you can say to other people clearly what the gospel is and how they can be saved. It is the only way that people can be saved, and we are all zealous to see people be saved. Let us therefore be effective communicators of the gospel. Number two, making disciples. Every Christian should be involved at some level in the disciple-making process. Some are gifted in ways that lend themselves to teaching others and seeing them grow, but everyone is commanded to play some part in the ministry of disciple making and do what the Great Commission calls us to do. If we are to personally fulfill this great command in our own life, we must either be actually making disciples ourselves, being trained to do it sometime soon, or at least supporting others who do it. Jesus was a disciple maker. He taught his disciples to be disciple makers, and that is what they did. When they made disciples, they went out and taught all of their disciples to make disciples also. Therefore, if we are their disciples, how are we doing at this ministry of making disciples ourselves? I'd like to ask you the question personally. I'd like you to think about how it applies to your own life. How are you doing at the ministry of making disciples? And if you're not doing well, I'd like to ask you to consider how you have excused yourself from that all-important and fundamental ministry of being a Christian. I would like you to encourage you by telling you this. Jesus was a disciple maker. He taught his disciples to be disciple makers, and that's what they did. Family, we're following the Lord, the Master, the disciple maker, Jesus. I would like to encourage you to consider how you are using your time and your talent and your treasure to make disciples. In what practical ways are you obeying this all-important command of our Lord? Consider again, we are either actually making disciples ourselves, being trained to do it sometime soon, or at least supporting others who do it. And I would say to you again to hear these words of the Lord. A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. And thirdly then, establishing and strengthening churches. Now here is a ministry that we are not all gifted in performing for sure. However, we are called to be involved at some level in seeing it come to pass. Either we are missionaries ourselves, or we are somehow supporting missionaries to carry out this all-important duty of our Lord. Consider how the Thessalonian church was commended by Paul as a model church, specifically because of their involvement of sounding forth the gospel in their entire region of the world. As it is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, Paul writes there of that church, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation and with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything." Paul commends these Thessalonians because they imitated the apostles and the Lord. Now, how did they do this? They sounded forth the gospel in every place. Wouldn't it be something if that could be said about our church? Getting right to the point here, consider for just a moment, how are you involved in seeing this come to pass? In what practical ways are you obeying the Lord in these matters? Well, if you are short on ideas, here in a moment we will hear of many ways to be involved. I will end here by asking you to consider two more things. Number one, how great is our salvation? And also, how great is our God? How great is our salvation? Are there words to describe the love and peace and glory that has filled our hearts since the day we believed? Indeed, there are not words. What is stirring in our hearts is inexpressible and glorious joy. I will remind you again of that great passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and following. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." How great is our salvation? Let me tell you, we've got something to share. Amen? And one more thing. How great is our God? How great is our God? If I get started here, I'll be here all day. Because if there were 1,000 tongues to sing, we could not express the honor and the glory that is due to his name. Amen? However, Psalm 96, I will remind you again of what it says. "Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Amen? Well, with that, We're going to ask Harry and Carissa to come up and give us some very practical ways we can be involved in publishing the greatness of our God and of his salvation.
Killing me, Sean. You're killing me. Oh, man. How great is our salvation and our God. We're now going to take a moment to share all of the different ways each of you can be involved with missions through HCF. We would ask that as we share with you that you would listen and take note of what the Lord may be calling you to do. It is our desire that everyone at Heritage would not only have a biblical and right understanding of missions, but that each of you would serve and be involved in missions. We realize that God has granted each person in the body with different gifts and different talents, so we ask that each of you respond as the Lord leads and directs you today. We believe that he has fully equipped this body for the work of missions and trust that his purposes will be accomplished.
In Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, Jesus says, "Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" Again, Jesus tells us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. "Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Paul continues to teach us the importance of prayer and missions. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it also did with you, that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith." The first way that we would like to encourage and exhort all of you to be involved in missions here at Heritage is through prayer. We have been commanded and called to pray. As believers, it is our blessed privilege to beseech the Lord, communing with him, praising him, and making our requests known. Therefore, we ask each of you to make a commitment to faithfully pray for missions on a daily basis. So that you might know how to pray, we have three different avenues in which we encourage prayer for missions. The first is through the Missions Corner. The Missions Corner can be found in your weekly bulletin and also on the weekly email newsletter. The Missions Corner focuses on a different ministry that we support through HCF Missions, giving a brief overview of the ministry and informing you of how you might pray. Please make it your goal to pray for these requests throughout the week. The second way that we encourage missions prayer is through our bi-monthly missions prayer meeting. An hour before our missions meeting, we gather to spend time in prayer for all the different missions matters that affect our congregation. To begin the meeting, we review a list of prayer requests and discuss the many missions needs that we might have. Then we spend the majority of our time praying together, bringing our requests before the Lord. Those who are on the missions team but cannot make it to the meeting receive this list of prayer requests via email so that they can pray throughout the month. The third way that we encourage prayer and missions is through prayer for the persecuted. Prayer for the Persecuted meets the second and fourth Saturday of each and every month at the Thomas's home. They start at 4:30 p.m. I would like to encourage all of you to attend at least one of the Prayer for the Persecuted meetings. By going to the meeting, you and your family will learn about our many brothers and sisters around the world that are persecuted, mocked, beaten, imprisoned, and even killed because of their faith in our Lord. So please be involved in missions by praying. Let's look at the Missions Corner so you might know how to pray. And please join us at our missions prayer meeting and at Prayer for the Persecuted.
Stay informed. The second way which we would like to encourage you to be involved in missions is by staying informed. By staying informed of the missions happenings here at church, you can know how to pray, how to be involved, how you can serve, and how you can give. Number one, the best way to stay informed is through missions emails. You may sign up to receive the mission emails by completing the information on the missions emails card right here, and by placing it in the offering box or by signing up on the table in the downstairs hallway immediately following this part of the session. Through emails, you will receive prayer requests, announcements, information about events, requests for helps, fundraiser information, reminders, and trip information. If you are interested in missions, I'd encourage you to sign up. Number two, another way to stay informed is by attending our missions meetings. On the third Sunday night of every other month, we meet together in the fellowship hall for our missions meetings. Meetings begin with a devotional, a meal is shared together, then announcements are given, a teaching is presented from the Word regarding missions, and the missions meeting is closed in prayer. Make plans to join us at our next missions meeting, January 17th. Third way to stay informed is of the missions happenings is through Heritage Bulletin. And so every Sunday we have a bulletin. So check the weekly bulletin for missions announcements and missions information. The fourth way, we also recommend that you stay informed by checking the missions bulletin board, which is over here on the wall. The missions board is changed out every 4 to 6 weeks. And on the board, we post relevant missions information for the entire church body to read. Please stop by the board and take a look and see what's happening there right after the service today. To get involved in missions, it is necessary that you stay informed. You can stay informed through missions emails, by attending our missions meetings, through the bulletin, and through the missions board.
Part of our missions efforts here at Heritage is to do local missions. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in all Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses in our Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem may include our home, may include our neighborhood, our school, our work, and even at the grocery store. Wherever God takes us throughout the normal course of our day, it is there that we are called to be His witnesses. To help you in your efforts to witness, to be a witness of Christ, participating in local missions, we simply want to encourage you to preach the gospel and make disciples. This is something that we are all called to do. As believers, we've been given a mandate from the Lord to proclaim Christ and to make disciples of Him. We desire to see that our entire fellowship here would be involved in these things. To help, we offer an evangelism training course. Each summer, during the first service, we offer an evangelism training course in the fellowship hall downstairs. During the course, students are encouraged and exhorted to obedience, are trained in the gospel message, and even given tips and ideas on how to effectively share the gospel. We would encourage each and every one of you to attend the training course, children, youth, and adults. It's an excellent way to be informed of or even reminded of the truths we already know, and more importantly, we are challenged and encouraged to put them all into practice. In addition to the evangelism training course, Heritage has a discipleship ministry. Through the discipleship ministry, new believers are connected with trained disciple makers, and they're also taught the basics of Christianity through the Foundations and Fundamentals course. We're also developing some training courses for disciple makers that they might learn what discipleship is and practically how to make disciples. I would encourage you to find out more about the discipleship ministry at Heritage by picking up one of these brochures downstairs. Another way to be involved in local missions through Heritage is by participating in our outreach projects. For Christmas and Easter, each year, we offer outreach materials for the entire fellowship to take and pass out to unsaved family, unsaved friends, or just anyone you happen to see or meet. The outreach materials are specifically intended for the unsaved, and they contain a strong gospel message. This particular Christmas, we're going to be giving away two books. The first is History's Most Spectacular Sin, and the second is In Our Joy. Both of these again, contains strong gospel messages, we would encourage you to take these materials and to pass them out to the unsaved that they might hear the gospel or read the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would encourage you to follow up by witnessing, by evangelizing, and by praying for those that you give the materials to. So look for announcements in the bulletin so that you'll know when that outreach project starts. You can also get involved in local missions by serving through our local outreach ministries. These ministries include the jail ministry, the Albuquerque Rescue Mission, and the CareNet Pregnancy Center. There's brochures downstairs about each one of these ministries so that you can find out more about the ministry and how you can be involved and serve through them. To summarize, we would encourage all of you to get involved in local missions by preaching the gospel and by making disciples. To grow in these things, attend our evangelism training course and become a part of the discipleship ministry. Also, get involved in our outreach projects and serve with our local outreach ministries.
In addition to local missions, we desire to do regional missions. Regional missions includes ministry to those outside of our immediate surroundings. For the last several years, we've done the majority of our regional missions in Mexico. There are two ways to get involved in regional missions through Heritage. The first way is through missions trips. The purpose of our missions trips has been to encourage our missionaries through works of service and giving, to encourage the body of believers through giving and training, and finally to assist in evangelism efforts to the unsaved. All those who've gone on a missions trip know the wonderful blessing it can be. Certainly we've heard of it coming back from our kids every time they go. A week spent serving, helping, evangelizing, discipling, teaching, preaching, and witnessing is all a Christian could ask for. That about sums it up, doesn't it? Got it all in one package. It is our goal to go on approximately 3 or 4 mission trips in 2010. We would ask that you would begin to prayerfully consider your involvement in a missions trip. It would be a good idea to go ahead and to get your passport and even to start saving for the trip so that when an opportunity arises, you are able to go. We desire to plan a trip to Juarez, Mexico for March of next year. During that missions trip, we would like to complete the construction of a Grace Bible Church Institute classroom to minister at the orphanage and to evangelize, working with a couple of different church plants there. Another way, especially for the boys up in the corner up there, to be involved in regional missions through Heritage is by participating in our missions projects. We have 1 or 2 missions projects a year in which we ask the entire church family to get involved by serving and giving. As we find out needs from our missionaries, we desire to glorify the Lord by helping to meet their needs. While everyone is welcome to participate, our upcoming winter missions project will be geared specifically towards children and youth. We desire to see them involved in missions, giving sacrificially, praying, showing the love of Christ. This year, we will be collecting items for the missions in Juarez, Mexico, so watch the bulletin for details. The two ways to get involved in regional missions through HCF is by participating on a missions trip and participating in the missions projects.
We are all called to do missions locally, regionally, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. At Heritage, we have a great longing and desire to see the unreached hear the gospel and come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are unreached people groups around the world who have not heard the gospel and who do not have any portion of scripture written in their language or any missionaries witnessing to them. They are unreached. At this thought, I pray that all of our hearts are burdened and saddened. So, as the Lord commands, we beseech him and we pray to him that he might send forth laborers from within our very own fellowship to the unreached. We pray that our young people here would grow up, matured in the faith, equipped and trained, and then that we send them out into all the world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and making disciples of him. We would pray that God would raise up men from our fellowship to be missionaries and their families who we could send out to the unreached. So as the Lord leads you to be involved in foreign missions, we would first encourage that all of you pray. Please join us in prayer. Pray that God raises up someone from within our very own midst right here to be a missionary. And secondly, we would like to ask that you join us by participating in our foreign missions projects. In the past, we've collected funds for Bibles, to be sent to Sudan and to Nigeria.
Another way to be involved in missions is by participating in our fundraising efforts. It is our desire to raise funds for missions on a continual basis. We do fundraising so that as the Lord leads and directs us in missions, we'll be able to reach out and minister without any constraints due to the lack of funds. There are several fundraisers to inform you of. Number one, we have a yearly yard sale, car wash, and bake sale. And that's great. You can come here, get your car washed, eat a piece of cake, get rid of your junk, get it all in one. This normally happens the first weekend of March. It's one of the largest fundraisers we do and appreciate everyone's involvement. We have an ongoing fundraiser through Good Shop and Good Search. And here's a flyer of that. If you'd like a copy of that, come see me or see the office staff. We receive a donation for every internet search we perform, and we receive a percentage of every purchase we make with participating vendors via the Good Shop webpage. So log on. It's a really easy way to give towards missions. We also do an annual cookie dough fundraiser during the holiday season. Can't have enough cookie dough on hand. Of course, you need to make a lot of cookies. For more information on any of these fundraisers, see Margaret Keene at the downstairs table after the conference. And the fourth way, besides these three regularly occurring fundraisers, we do a variety of things throughout the year to raise funds. For all the details, join the missions team email list.
The last way that we would like to encourage all of you this morning to get involved in missions is through giving. Giving is a very tangible way that we as a body can show our commitment to the Great Commission. In addition to showing our commitment, giving meets the practical needs of missionaries and provision is made for missions and outreach work. Knowing that God has given us much more than we need and much, much more than we deserve, we would like to encourage our entire fellowship to get involved in missions by giving. There are four basic ways that you can give towards missions here at Heritage. The first way is through your general offering. Anytime you make a regular offering, a percentage of those funds goes towards the missions budget. In addition, any designated missions offerings goes towards the missions budget. Anytime you give towards a missions project, that designated offering is allocated towards the missions budget. Then, in September of this year, we started another way to give towards missions, loose change for missions. On the first Sunday of every single month, all loose bills and loose change that are given in the missions offering go towards the missions budget. Thus far, in 3 months, we've raised over $1,000. I didn't know we had so much change. So we praise God for that. Another way, and completely new way, that we would like to encourage all of you to consider your involvement in missions giving is through faith promises. A faith promise is a commitment that someone prayerfully makes to give towards missions for an amount that they designate and at a frequency they desire. During our past three missions trips to Juarez, it has become very apparent to the Missions Council that there is a great financial need with the two new ministries that we are supporting. First, there is a financial need for many of the pastors. Grace Bible Church and Institute trains and sends out pastors to different colonias throughout Juarez and Mexico. Currently, they have 5 church plants in Juarez. 4 of these congregations at the church plants are not able to support their pastor with funds necessary that he might provide for his family. There are many within their congregations who've recently lost their job, have been unemployed, and who simply do not have much to give. Though many of these pastors are continually looking for work, the economic situation in Juarez does not allow for men to go out and simply get a full-time or even a part-time job. Our hearts are very burdened by the fact that these pastors are doing everything that they can to shepherd their congregation and to provide for their family. These pastors live very simply, and knowing the great abundance that we have here in America, even during our time of need, we long to see our congregation meet the needs of these pastors and their families. For $100 a month, these pastors can fully provide for their families' basic needs, only $100. It's our desire to provide all 4 of these pastors with $100 each for the next 12 months. That's just $3.33 a day for an entire family. By sacrificing $25 a week, you can support one of the pastors and his family. If that sounds like too much, even consider how $20, $10, or $5 a week or a month might even help. Even if you're able to only give $5 a month, after a year, you would be providing for that pastor and his family in Mexico for 3 whole weeks. That may not sound like a lot to you, but imagine what that would mean to that pastor and his wife and his kids. We would like to ask that each of you prayerfully consider giving to these men so that they might shepherd the flock that God has entrusted to them without concern for how they will provide for their families that day. Secondly, we know of a great financial need at the orphanage in Juarez. There are now 26 children living at the orphanage. For $75 a month, we can cover the food cost and basic needs for one child. This includes their clothing and schooling. We believe that there are several members from within our very congregation here that have a desire to support an orphan on a regular basis. So, we want to make this opportunity available to you, that you might fulfill the ministry that God has placed upon your heart. Currently, the orphanage is short about $415 a month. So our goal is to raise support for 6 orphans a month for the next 12 months. So please prayerfully consider this giving opportunity. For $17 a week, you can fully support an orphan. For $9 a week, you and another can fully support them. And just for $4.50 a week, you and 3 others could support them. Even if you're able to only give $1.50 a week, after a year, you would have supported an orphan for an entire month. We would like to ask that each of you, children, youth, and adults, prayerfully consider your involvement in giving through faith promises so that we might meet the needs of these pastors, their families, and provide for these orphans. Though we're asking everyone to participate, we want to make sure that everyone here has a clear understanding of this guideline. The elders, the deacons, and the Missions Council kindly ask that all faith promises be given above and beyond your normal tithes and offerings. If participating in faith promises would cause you to lessen or even stop your regular giving here at the church, we kindly ask that you do not participate. So I would like to encourage all of us to submit to our God-given authority from our elders and our deacons, and only participate in faith promises if it is above and beyond what you would normally give in tithes and offerings. So maybe you're thinking you would like to participate, but you don't know how you're going to come up with the extra funds. So here's some ideas for how you can save money. Give the money that you would spend at Starbucks to missions instead. After 1 year of dropping 1 weekly coffee at Starbucks, you can support an orphan for 2 whole months. If you drink Coke, don't buy them at the machines. Buy them at the grocery store or drink water instead. Maybe your whole entire family can make a commitment together to drink only water for a whole year and save all that money that you would have spent on sodas and give it to missions instead. Eat out less often and take your lunch to work. Have your family eat at home one night as a sacrifice for all of you to give that money to missions instead. Use coupons at the grocery store. Your family can easily save $5 a week by showing competitors' ads or by giving coupons. And after a year of savings, you and 3 others doing the exact same could fully support an orphan. Get rid of cable TV or direct TV, possibly even less than the programs that you have. Maybe you could cancel your gym membership and start working out at home instead, or at the park or at the community center. Or maybe you could cut out movie rentals. Giving will require a sacrifice, so please prayerfully consider what you can give up so that you might meet someone else's needs. Here's a couple ideas for making money. You could have a garage sale at home. You could take care of your neighbor's lawns, rake their leaves, or shovel their snow. If you like to make crafts, you could sell them at an arts and crafts sale. Maybe you can sell some of your old stuff on eBay or offer to sell someone else's stuff for half the profit. You could sell your old clothes to a consignment shop. You could house sit, babysit, animal sit, whatever it might be. All these things will require time and effort, but I'm sure that they will be a joy to do so as unto the Lord, knowing that the money you will make will help provide for 4 pastors and their families and the 6 orphans. Now that you know the need and how to come up with the money, I want to give you a quick overview of how to participate in Faith Promises. This morning, everyone received a booklet, and inside your booklet, there's a packet. If you want to take your packet out, the first card in your packet says, My Commitment Card. This card is for you to take home and prayerfully consider how the Lord might lead you to give to Faith Promises for the next 12 months. That's starting in December of this year and going all the way through November of 2010. You can record on the card how much you want to give, who you want to give to, how often you want to give, per week, per month, or for a one-time gift, and who you want to give to, the pastors in Juarez or the orphans in Mexico. If you want to give to both, just check both of the boxes. Once you complete the card, this is for your own personal records and as a reminder, so you can just keep it. On the second card, entitled Faith Promises Church Commitment Card, you're going to want to complete the same information. However, we ask that you turn this card into the church by November 22nd. There's a little reminder for you right down here. That's only 2 weeks away. You can turn in your card by placing it in an offering box or an offering plate or by turning it into the church office. Please know that all Faith Promise commitments are completely anonymous. We will not keep track of who has committed to give what. So though your faith promise is between you and the Lord, we do ask that you turn in the second commitment card so that we can communicate and inform Grace Bible Church and Institute, along with Rivers of Mercy, of how we hope to support them throughout the upcoming year. After you've made your commitment to give, we ask that you do as God has purposed in your heart, giving as He provides. When giving towards Faith Promises, please use one of these envelopes. A Faith Promise envelope is available in everyone's packet, and it will always remain available on the back for your table. If you want to support both the pastors and the orphans, please just check both of those boxes, and we'll divide that money evenly unless you specify otherwise. If you don't check any of the boxes, we'll divide it evenly just the same. While Faith Promises are anonymous, we have provided a space at the bottom for your name so that those who give cash can receive tax credit for that. In addition to using the offering envelopes, we also offer electronic giving here at Heritage. If that's something that you are interested in, please contact the church office. So again, giving is a very tangible way that we as a body can show our commitment to the Great Commission. There are 4 basic ways to give towards missions here at Heritage. They're through your regular offerings, through your designated missions offerings, through loose change for missions, and through Faith Promises.
So please seek the Lord on as to how to give as the Lord would lead you this morning and how to get involved in missions here at church. So join us in prayer. Stay informed. Get involved in local, regional, and foreign missions. Participate in the fundraising and give. It is our hope and prayer that in all these things, God is glorified. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Well, in closing, I would like for us to consider the passage in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah has a vision of the Lord. There in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, it reads like this. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. And then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Here Isaiah sees the Lord on his glorious throne. It is enough to hear what he says in response. Woe is me, for I am ruined. The vision of God was so profound and convicting. All he could think of was how he had blasphemed God with his unclean lips. But consider what happens next. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. What glorious words. Oh, blessed mercy. What good news. What divine wonder. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is forgiven. I love those words. Is this not what the gospel has proclaimed for me and for you? Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. My iniquity is taken away, and my sins are forgiven. Because of the death of our Lord upon the cross and his perfect life of obedience to God, your sin is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Death and hell no more shall awe. Guilt is gone. Freedom is proclaimed. The glorious freedom of the children of God is upon us. Rejoice, my soul. Rejoice. Our salvation is wonderful, isn't it? Our God is amazing, isn't he? Consider with me what happens next in Isaiah 6, verses 8 and 9. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. And now the voice of the Lord is speaking to the objects of his mercy, and he is asking, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? The eternal God, the great I am, the creator of the ends of the earth, the Holy One. Who has forgiven our sins, is asking, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Dear family, may this heart be in us that was also in our brother Isaiah. Here I am, send me. And if this heart be in you, that you will answer and say to the Lord, here I am, send me. And then hear the word of the Lord in response. Verse 9. Go and tell this people. Let's pray. Our God and Father, O Lord, you are so wonderful and awesome. We praise you, God. O Lord, how can we speak of the glory that is due your name, or express the joy that fills our hearts. Indeed, it is inexpressible. God, our hearts are broken with joy and peace and love that springs up from in our soul because of your blessed Holy Spirit who is in us. Oh Lord, as we consider the wonders of your salvation, we just soar, God. We are lifted up and encouraged with great hope. And oh Lord, we eagerly look for your soon coming kingdom. And we pray that you would strengthen us and help us. And Lord, we want to tell others of your glory and your greatness. We want to tell others of your great salvation. But Lord, these commands are so high. They are so lofty, God. They seem so far beyond us. And so we humbly ask, Father, help us. Help us, God, to speak of your glory among the nations, to tell of your goodness from day to day. Give us courage and give us strength, Lord, to be witnesses of all the amazing things that you have done. We honor you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.